You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We've got one big old segment, baby.
You got a donk this segment.
The Vanderdonk segment. That's right. We talk about the Women's World Cup Championship. We talk all about that IG and how spicy it got.
That's right. We also go over the Gold Cup and how we went from that joy to that dropping that roller coaster to some sadness. We have too many gifts.
We literally spent most of the show unboxing.
Too many gifts. It's gone too far, but thank you so much for
keep sending us more, baby. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Look,
if you're watching on YouTube, you can't even see us. I think you can see me. I don't think they can see you.
You definitely can't see me. I am too thin.
Well, the reason they can't see is because we are behind, I think, seven packages?
It is my nightmare has come true. the exact thing I feared.
I remember a couple weeks ago, Christian was like, maybe we should stop doing the unboxing because I have a feeling too many people are going to send us stuff. And I was like, that's what I want. And it happened. And Christian is very upset. And this is legitimately the official unboxing podcast now. This is the gulliest unboxing podcast. This is the funniest unboxing podcast.
This is now that popular YouTube channel, Ryan's Toy Review. Have you ever heard of that?
No, but that guy gets like millions of views.
Yeah. And now we do that, but with soccer toys.
It's a soccer toys. Oh, baby. I'm not kidding. First of all, there's a Timberland here. There's a paint of Timberland, which some of you guys might have seen.
Yes.
If you watch the NYCFC versus Timberlands,
Timberlands, yes.
Timbers match.
Yep.
They're
like, yo, what's good, fam? We're the Portland Timberlands.
What up, baby?
Yo, what's good, my dude?
Let me get a coffee with two milk and two sugars. You're supposed to be playing soccer. I ain't about all that right now.
Okay, so look, we'll get to all of that stuff because our audio listeners.
Trying to move that so they could see you.
Do not get the privilege. But yes, this is, we'll show this in a little bit, but this is incredible.
Yeah, I'll put that over here.
The NYCFC TIFO was a bunch of Timberland boots.
Because of Tim's Army.
Because they were the Tim's Army that day. The Tim's Army did not win. They did show up with a dope TIFO.
Yeah.
So hello, welcome to the show, everybody. Now you can see me. Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
Yes, it is. And my name is Alexis Guerreros.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians up here at the top of Madison Square Garden.
That's right.
Who hosts the funniest soccer podcast that you have ever listened to, my guy.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It also happens to be the gulliest soccer podcast, my guy.
That's right. You can see it right there on Alexis's shirt behind his headphones.
I forgot these were on my neck.
Matt Profesh, you know how he does.
We do. We prepare a little bit. There you go.
So we're excited to be up here. We're excited to because
we say we're the gullies, and now we got weapons. Okay. We're going to use these like 1955 scissors to open these boxes.
Okay, yeah, it's like it's an old ass scissor / letter opener.
Yeah, it's the kind like where the handle is. It's all made of metal. The handle's black, and the thing is silver.
This is
what like murder weapons in film noir movies.
Sure. You look how good you were at describing the objects for the audio listener. It's almost like you've done these unboxings before.
I've been prepared for these my whole life.
Yeah, so Alexis is very happy because he didn't have a dad to give him Christmas presents.
No. I had a family that did. But there was always that one missing, and that's a stranger sending us stuff. How great is it? People said, a comedy podcast about soccer, that'll never work. We proved them wrong. Somebody said, why would anyone listen to an unboxing? We proved them wrong. All in the same podcast.
We're changing the game. Okay, this is almost like a soccer unboxing ASMR.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's always, maybe people are into it for like very almost fetishizing it.
Yeah, dude, they're getting off on unboxing. They're like, right now we're removing a shirt. You hear.
This is the Megan Rapinoe jersey that we are removing from the packaging.
60% polyester.
Okay, everybody's aroused all of a sudden.
Oh, get these guys off the air.
So thank you for listening. We are excited to be here. We are. We're just generally in a good mood, right?
Oh my God, we're so excited.
Because we're the United States of America are the world champions.
We are the champions. My guy. That's how the song is supposed to be.
That's what it says on the trophy.
We are the champions. My guy.
Okay. That's that Diddy remix, bro.
Well, he invented the remix. It's only fair.
Yes, because after the original, it's probably this. Yeah. So we are excited because, yes, the U.S. Women's National Team did win the World Cup.
Yeah. We said it. We told the players it was going
to
happen.
That's right. To their faces.
To their faces. They didn't believe in themselves. You know who did? We did.
They were like, oh, look, I don't know. We got to play. We got to take it one game at a time. We were like, forget all that noise.
Nah, you Thailand. You worried about Thailand? Don't you worry. Yo, you focus on that final. Just right now, decide where you're gonna sleep for the final. Don't start looking at hotels right now. Piss off the English team.
Exactly. So, yes.
We did, dude. Remember, like, Rose and Allie came in here on that, hey, man, we're just going to take it one game at a time. We don't want
to
say.
Allie
Krieger
was modest to the point where she was like, I don't even know if I'm going to be on the team.
I'm like, bro, you're going to play in the second half.
Okay.
First of all, how litty did we get when she came in the second half? Dude. People were like, are those two related to her?
every time Allie Krieger played, we lost our mind. Everyone else was just like, what? Did they know something we do not know?
She just made a pass, guys. And we're like, that's what we're talking about. Look at that. Dude, through a ball.
Every time Allie made a cross, yeah. I was like, yeah, let's go. I'm like,
score it for her.
I was like me watching a bicycle kick being scored.
Every time. We were standing so hard for her.
Yeah, dude.
We were so happy that she got in the game. I'm sorry that it was because of injury.
Yeah, Kelly O'Hara, but she is okay. Kelly O'Hara is fine.
But shouts to you, Kelly, for taking one for the team.
Yeah, but we know Kelly O'Hara because she was twerking like crazy in the locker room.
Okay, first of all, if you weren't following Ashlyn Harris after the championship, you missed out. Bitch got to eat.
Okay, all right. I think she got that tattooed on her body.
Yo, I might get that tattooed on my forehead.
Bitch got to eat.
Oh, my God.
Ashlyn Harris, who, unfortunately, with the goalkeeper situation, she didn't get to play in any of the World Cup matches.
That's why she was, she was saving up her energy for the post game.
Because she let it all out.
Okay. She gave 90 minutes.
For real.
Also, my wife's friends were all messaging her. Is this the girl you're talking about? Yo, she's so hot. She's hotter than a dude. Blah, blah, blah. Look at the energy. She got big dick energy. Your husband was right. Everyone just kept messaging. My wife was like, all of a sudden, she's like the receptacle for love of Ashlyn Harris. I'm like, yo, we're definitely going this way.
Okay.
Yeah, straight girls are being turned out left and right because of her content.
That is what Ashlyn Harris does. Okay. Yo. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey.
That not every woman has that kind of power.
No, that bandana around your neck is too powerful.
Not many dudes have that kind of power. Okay?
We've never had that power.
We have never been able to make a girl straight.
No.
Trust me.
Even if they were straight, they'd be like, nah, it's all right.
We make straight girls gay. That's our problem.
At the very least, question. Like, well, this can't be what I was put on this planet. There's got to be better.
But not Ashlyn. That was incredible.
She's just such a... I mean, you want to hang out with her.
Yeah.
And the team, that's not how any other team I've ever seen win. They don't party like that. This is like, you wanted to be a part of this.
Well, that's why Piers Morgan got his panties in a bunch.
Mm, he clutched his pearls, as you like to say. Grabbed his lapel and tightened up. Nobody likes Piers Morgan. English people don't like Piers Morgan. We don't like Piers Morgan.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a
bold... Other dudes named Piers Morgan don't like Piers Morgan.
I mean, of all people, those Piers Morgans do not like that Piers Morgan.
They're very frustrated.
We always start the show, like, per usual, showing love to the people show love to us, and we have a lot to do, so we have to but I do want to get to this review, which is very, very sweet and touching. This is from Hi Mom! !
Aww.
Okay. Reaching out to Mumsy. It says,
she's a real MVP.
Congrats on 500 reviews and 5 stars. It says, I've had the pleasure of knowing Alexis and Christian for about 4 years now. Okay.
Oh, who's this?
All right. I think I'm all right. This is interesting.
I said, I'm behind you the whole time.
They are legitimately two of the nicest people you could hope to meet. The Cooligans gave me my first opportunity in the podcasting world, and I'm eternally grateful for that. Now I've moved away from New York for work, and everything that is good in my life is a direct result of these two giving me a chance.
Oh,
I'm doing my best to make Raleigh Gully. Now, back to the jokes. Thank you so much.
Kirby.
This is Kirby. Shout out.
Our day ones will remember Kirby's Corner.
That's right. Kirby Pate, he was the first, like, I don't know, maybe 6-7 months on the show, like when we started.
Real early.
Really figuring out what was going on. He got on board, and he was just a fan of what we were doing.
Yeah.
He was in college. He was going to NYU.
Big Arsenal fan, so we had, like, mutual friends that knew us and him and put us together, and he was there for the first ever NYCFC game that they showed at Smithfield. Nevada Smiths, which is dead now, but
yeah.
He was there, and it was just like sort of an easy union. And he's like, yo, he wants to do more in podcasting and he wants to help out.
He's become a dear friend that we're happy for him. He's working for a news station out in Raleigh.
Yeah, he got a job out in Raleigh. Shouts to him.
Where he's originally from. So that's super cool. And Kirby, we wish you the best. You're going to crush it out there. And hopefully we see you soon. Hopefully we'll be out in Raleigh sometime. Who knows?
Maybe.
Being on local television.
We were on this weekend.
We have a lot to talk about.
First of all, we were on a lot because a lot of people were sending me text messages. Peter Pabon, who's like a world famous photographer, took a screen cap of us on the news and sent it to my wife, who's also a photographer, and was like, yo, is this your husband on the news right now?
Okay, what crime did he commit?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I know.
We always knew.
I told you shouldn't have married him.
He's on the news. He's snitching. His lawyer looks wild confused. Who's Christian Polanco? What type of attorney is this?
Yes, we were on Pix 11.
We were on Pix 11. We were on New York One.
Fox Sports in the broadcast for the game. So we a lot to do. So you know what? Before we start talking about this stuff, we have a lot of boxes in front of us. Yeah. Let's just start cracking through.
Why don't we start unboxing these as we talk?
So
we actually called the game, right? I got this one.
Okay.
You do another one.
Okay, cool.
Open that first because we got to talk about that. So we hosted the game. I would say what? About 1,100 people?
Towards
the end.
I would say 1,000 seems like a fair number.
We'll go with 1,200.
At Dumbo. So if you're not from New York, the Dumbo, which means the down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass, it is.
Which they added the overpass because if not, it'd be dumb.
Okay. That's why you listen to this show. Unboxings and terrible jokes from Alexis.
Dad jokes.
So the down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass is literally under a bridge,
it used to be like a truck. It's one of those like archways under the bridge, and it used to be like a truck parking lot.
Okay, yeah. When I was growing up, I went to high school nearby there. It was a place where like junkies used to hang out and prostitutes.
You said that so lovingly, junkies.
You know,
remember Steve?
They're still at the orbs. Yeah.
Remember Shaky Steve and Trembly Tim?
But no, now they've been hosting soccer games there, World Cup games. They were showing Copa America as well. And we got to host them. So a shout out to Dumbo, the Dumbo Business Improvement.
Dumbo BID, yeah.
Follow them at Dumbo BID. They have events there all the time. They're going to be doing like a concert series every Thursday. So go check that out as well. Incredibly kind people, really, really supportive. And they're fans of the Cooligans, and hopefully we'll be doing stuff in the future with them. But we did. We were there. We were there for the quarterfinal against France. But seriously, that was like
600 people.
Yeah,
and we were like, wow. And they actually asked us, they're like, hey, if the women make it all the way to the final, and we were like, stop talking that way. Okay.
You know, we yelled at the actual players. What do you think we're going to say to you?
What you think we're going to do to you? You think we won't get right in your face? And they were like, hey, if the players make it, or when the players make it, do you guys want to host it? And we're like, hell yeah, why not? And I mean, at first it was like, they rearranged the seating, so it felt like less people could go in there, but the place was jammed. I think they got in trouble. There was like an alleyway they had to leave open so people could cross from one side of the bridge to the other. And it was just so jammed. People were like arguing and getting over there. They had security. We're like, sorry, ma'am, you have to move. And like these young, like 22-year-old girls, like, I'm not moving. I want to see the game. And I was like, fuck yeah. That's what it's all about, baby.
That's what's out. Okay. We got the tween hooligans out here.
Ooh.
Okay.
Speaking of, we have to give these away, right?
These are ours.
Ooh. These we get ours. To keep these.
Oh, my God. This is incredible. Okay, we just opened our first.
What a perfect subject to be talking about.
First box. And
I didn't know. I did not know that they made bobbleheads for the president. Because Megan Rapinoe, baby. We got a Megan Rapinoe.
We got a Megan Rapinoe bobblehead.
Who we, that is our, what is it? Chief Commander-in-Chief.
Look at this. Incredible. I mean, it's missing the pink hair or the purple hair.
And the fourth star.
And the fourth star. But, you know, they made them beforehand.
Oh, and we're not done.
Oh, I didn't know this one was coming.
We also got Aaron West's best friend, apparently. they've known each other for a very long time. I didn't know this, but all the content Aaron West put in, I'm like, how are you so cool with Kristen Dunn? Look at this.
Crystal Dunn.
Crystal Dunn, my bad.
Crystal Dunn, we got a bob. Look at this. Oh, my God, the heroes.
Look how beautiful this is, man. They do such a great job with these.
Amazing.
So it's not just...
So these are from
it's not just the brothers of famous soccer players. They also do the famous soccer players.
So thank you. This is from FOCO USA. We just did a giveaway of a Megan Rapinoe bobblehead on Instagram. So check that out. I think we announced the winner already. But maybe we'll do more. So make sure you follow us on social media at Soccer Cooligans on Instagram and on Twitter. And also shouts. Speaking of it, this is a very shouts to us moment because it wasn't only the U.S. Women's National Team that was accomplishing great things. It was also the Cooligans. We officially hit 10,000 Twitter followers.
Come on now.
During the game.
While sitting there, calling the game, watching and enjoying ourselves, the number hit 10K.
So,
which is what we've always wanted.
Yeah, I don't think that was an accident by any means. So the...
I got to say, there was a lot of Holland fans there, which was dope. And just... The graciousness of American fans, it was like a couple like joking boos, but people say America isn't a soccer country, and you watch that and if this was another country, even when we call the Champions League match, there was a couple of fights afterwards or a little bit of shoving.
Is that what happens every time we host anything?
Well, it gets a little gully when we show up. But what I mean is, there was something like, I don't know. Everyone was there to enjoy the moment.
Yeah,
and people stayed around long to watch the celebration and the confetti. It's 1,200 people inside of, we're under a bridge.
Yeah, look, for the most part, it was, outside of it just being a little, if you got there a little late, it was a little cramped for you. I mean, we told everybody, yo, get there early if you want to grab
a seat. We saved a table.
Yeah, we looked after the homies, any Cooligans fans, anybody that hit us up. And that's all we can do.
Yeah.
But it was usually every time with those scenarios, especially with U.S. soccer games, people are pretty cordial.
Yeah, they are. Nothing crazy.
Everybody was well behaved.
And it's just it's an honor for us to be able to be the one you choose. Like, this is a big deal. You grew up there. That's a space that's used for large events now.
Yeah.
For us to be the ones considered to do that. All joking aside and all cockiness aside that we use, sarcastically, it's an honor for us to be considered for those things. And I love the fact that our fans kind of know that about us. And they're like, yo, this is huge for you guys. And we're like, I know.
Yeah. Growing up, having grown up in Brooklyn and especially when I started doing comedy in Brooklyn, and there's famous comedians from Brooklyn, right? We have Chris Rock and a couple other people. So there's a part of me wants to represent Brooklyn. But then what I started seeing, especially in comedy, was just somebody would move here from Minnesota
and they'd be
here two weeks. Yeah. And they're like, I'm a Brooklyn comic. I'm like, really? Okay. Yeah. Is this what a Brooklyn comic is
now? Wow.
All right.
Tell me where the W train used to go before you do all that.
Exactly. Doc. So,
hold on. Where you get the R? Tell me where you get the R right now.
So, the G line.
Yeah.
Ooh, nobody rode the G line.
The G line is where you went to detox. Because there was no police officers there. You could get over.
There weren't any condos out on the G line.
No, if you had to go from Brooklyn to Brooklyn to Queens or Queens to Brooklyn, and you didn't have to go into Manhattan for any reason, you messed up back in the day. If you avoided Manhattan, you probably wasn't doing much. You know what I mean?
So there was a little bit of a point of pride in getting to do something so incredibly iconic in Brooklyn. It felt very, very special, and it was a proud moment in my own entertainment sort of career to be able to do stuff. Because Brooklyn is very different from when I grew up. But the fact that there's
I think the best example is that archway. It was
there's
drug users and trucks were kept.
That's right. it's where my parents met.
They're both trucks.
Don't you dare talk about my truck that way.
Don't you. Dad.
So, but the fact that Brooklyn has become a place that's become so iconic, where even you don't there's legitimately comedians that don't even bother going into Manhattan anymore.
Tons of them,
because there's tons of shows. It's it's like the new Hollywood or something. I mean, there's avenues of success.
You could go from just performing in Brooklyn to Comedy Central.
Big companies are moving their offices to Brooklyn.
It's huge.
It's very different.
Well, I mean, especially now that we were there.
Exactly. So
companies we gotta go.
Okay, let's keep it moving because we have too many things. All right, this is from Puma or Puma, as Puma. They say in England. This is
they also say Adidas. I mean, they don't know what they're doing.
I already know what this is. This is a Manchester City kit. We got this from Manchester City themselves.
Oh my God.
This is the new kit. Is this a new kit?
That is the new kit.
That is the new kit. Okay. Yeah, this is the new kit from Puma.
Look at this.
Manchester City. Unbelievable. Gorgeous.
It's got the nice purple on the kind of a purplish on the back here. This is a medium, so this is yours.
You think?
It's kind of dope. Actually, it's got the waves inside of it, which sort of reminds people that they were on the water.
Okay, let me read this real quick. This is, it says, hey, citizen. It says, welcome to the Puma fam. I'm saying it like them because, I'm just showing some respect. Welcome to the Puma fam. We are excited about our partnership with Manchester City and wanted to hook you up with the new Man City home kit to celebrate. We can't wait to see you style this on your IG channel. Sounds super cool.
Yeah. Also, you better do it.
So don't forget to tag Puma Football at Man City and this is at hashtag this is our city. Thank you so much for this. And
got some Wilson soccer
this
balls.
This is too much.
There's
man.
No note.
There's no note. That's just
no note. They're just like, yo, have some soccer balls.
Thank you, Wilson, for the soccer balls.
Thank you. All right, that goes over here. This is legitimately feels like a Christmas morning. not a Christmas morning. I'm used to having.
I just want people to realize that we do not deserve any of this stuff. Okay.
Speak for yourself. I will talk to you the way we spoke to Allie and Rose Lavelle. We've earned this. We've put in the hard work.
Take that one. This is incredible. So,
where do all these people get our address?
Are we in the phone book or something? Yeah. Or
a comedy show, sometimes your email gets sent to you give the booking email to somebody.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you get 1,000 comics from that city messaging you. I'm going to New York. Can I be on the show? You're like, God damn it. I can't believe you shared it with everyone. That's how it feels right now.
That is the
insult. We've been doxxed.
We've been comedy doxxed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my
another,
God.
Another big Puma box. Oh this is God. Insane, man.
This is a gift box. What is this?
I'm starting to hate this.
Whoa.
Okay.
This is the double XL.
This is double XL. I assume this is for me.
Yeah.
This is
the same thing.
Is this just for the jersey?
And I think else? So. Is there something else in here?
There's nothing else in there.
No, there's got to be something else in there.
It's just a bunch of foam.
They put all this for a jersey.
Yeah, this foam. This could be used for
sound deadening. But there's actually cutouts of shoes in here, so this should have been shoes. I'm not saying it should have. I'm happy for the jersey. I'm saying this is all right. You get what I'm saying. Some people also got boots. This is what I'm saying.
This is not enough, Manchester City.
Oh, this is amazing. Oh, and it says City on the back. That's kind of dope. But there's also this, which is kind of cool, right? Hi, citizen. Welcome to the
booth. Don't read it again. Yeah. Do not. It's the same thing.
Look at this. We got a nice look on the inside. It's got the art.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I'm putting that for the video.
All right.
Right. So you want us to sport it on our IG channel?
That's how the kids talk.
Yo, shouts to Manchester City.
All right.
And by the way, true.
Also they're gonna be at Upper 90. The Premier League trophy is gonna be at Upper 90 in Brooklyn. I just saw that.
When is that?
So today, if you're listening to this today, Wednesday.
So after the parade.
After the parade, you go to parade and then go. It's
going
to be.
Come with me on the train because I'm going back home. I live not too far from there.
Okay. So this is the last box. Apologies for the audio listeners because I know this is.
No, this is what they want to hear. They want to hear us getting gifts, baby.
There's no way this can't be brutal for you. I feel bad doing this.
I don't know so why you're so self-conscious about this.
I can imagine how you feel. Oh, wait, I don't want to rip through this shit. Okay. Okay, this is our last bag. And this is from a Gully Squad member. From Kyle Orenberg.
I know Kyle.
Kyle.
Called his grain distributor my guy.
That's right. Notoriously. Okay, it's not a letter or anything. All right. Here we go. So Kyle.
Nice note in there.
He told us why he was going to send us. So this is a. Okay, here we go. I'll read this. So it says, Alexis and Christian, I hope you enjoy the Jones barbecue sauce. It's by far the best, most unique sauce I have ever tried. Stay gully, Kyle Orenberg. Thank you
this
so much,
this is incredible.
Kyle.
We're getting barbecue sauce sent to us.
So we got...
I'm living my goddamn dream.
Barbecue sauce, which is now we're up Alexis's alley.
Now we're doing. Now we're talking.
All right,
Actually, I'm going to put that where the shoes should have gone.
Clothing that he can barely fit in? No. This is not what he prefers.
Ooh.
Okay, so this is... Jones barbecue sauce. So it's a sweet and tang. I don't know much about barbecue sauce, but I'm excited to
try
to learn.
We each got a bottle
and try. So thank you so much for this.
No, try it.
Try it right now.
Yeah, open it up. Who are you? Who are you to not try a bottle
of
barbecue sauce?
Open yours, and then I'll take a dab.
I'm gonna take a swig of it.
You're gonna drink it right out of the bottle?
Yeah, dude.
Damn,
I'm trying the barbecue sauce. I promise.
Barbecue sauce, just no ice. Just.
Bro, give it to me straight. No chaser. Unless you happen to have wings back there. Yeah, you got to take a swig of it. I'm going to smell it, all right? Okay. So I could give the audience my first assessment.
Okay.
Oh, it's got like this it's cool little cover here. All right, good to protect the barbecue sauce. You know what I mean?
What is this? When we started this soccer podcast, the last thing I thought I would be doing is opening barbecue sauce for listeners to be like interested and entertained by. All right, I guess it has a strong scent.
All right, I smell pepper. Ooh, it's got that nice. It's like, it's not a Middle Eastern pepper. It's more of
also, let's describe it. Alexis has not read the ingredients.
Oh, no. I'm not reading that at all.
He's just using his schnapps right now.
Wow. A little bit of garlic. Heavy on the molasses. Very sweet. This is very Kansas City. This is a very Kansas City sauce.
Okay.
There's one smell that I'm getting in that I can't. Some type of Indian spice. But, all right. Let's give it a swig.
I don't want to take a swig of this. That seems so gross.
Black beans. Oh, that's incredible.
Okay. Ooh. All right. This feels
give it a try.
So gross. I mean, I like barbecue sauce.
Give it a try,
out of a bottle
damn it.
Feels weird. Okay.
He's actually drinking. All right. I didn't take that much of a swig. Just take a little bit. God damn it.
All right, this is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's so good.
It is very, very good, yeah.
Well, Kyle, we will hold this dear near and dear to our heart, and we're going to eat it a lot.
Yep.
Jones-style barbecue sauce, established in 1970-something, it says on it.
Who knows?
Pretty good. A little drunk. Sweet and tangy Jones barbecue sauce. Thank you so much to Puma. Thank you so much to our Gully Squad members.
Foco USA.
Foco USA. Wilson Balls. What else? I feel like we forgot one.
I don't know what else.
This is absolutely incredible. Shouts to Tim's desk that had all this on it for a week. Guys, don't forget, if you want the address to send us stuff, you message me, not Christian, okay?
We're full, all right? Our Amazon locker is completely full.
And I promise you, I will wear this jersey on our IG channel. I promise you, fam.
Thank you for all of this stuff. Insane. Ridiculous.
Did you think when we started... podcast, we would be literally showered in gifts and swigging barbecue sauce from the bottle.
No, I did not. This is incredibly kind, and the generosity is unbelievable.
Yeah, and it doesn't go unnoticed. This is absolutely wild, and we're honored.
All right. Let's before we, even though we've talked about all these other.
Wait, Tim just messaged. There's another button. I'm joking.
We've talked about all these other products. We have to give a shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, SeatGeek. SeatGeek always.
The best.
They are the best. Always looking out for Cooligans fans. And if you guys, obviously, if you want to go, obviously MLS is back. All these games now that the Women's World Cup is over, now that Copa America is over, now that Gold Cup is over, we can finally kind of like focus our attention again on supporting our domestic soccer, which is Major League Soccer and NWSL. That's always like a big issue, right? The World Cup happens, and then during the...
Can I say something? You have a little barbecue sauce on your lip, and I never thought I'd be able to say that on this podcast.
Nah, man, it's staying there the entire show.
This is pretty great.
Okay, I got it. All right. So, always the big issue, there was the really cool video from Brandi Chastain and like Budweiser, right, about supporting the domestic league again.
Yes.
Right? It's not just once every 4 years.
Well, that's a hope, right? The hope is that people saw something that would inspire... I mean, we do this everywhere. World Cup, men's and women's, we say we hope something you saw here inspires you to want to support the game itself.
Yeah.
But I think there's almost like an added weight to it when it comes to the women's game, because what gets lost, and I think why the celebrations were so grand, and I think why the passion is so great for this women's team, is what they have to go through in order to just get there. We spoke a little bit about it when Allie Krieger was on the show. She refused to let go. She hired her own trainers. She went out and did her own thing. And she's one of the bigger names.
Exactly.
Imagine what... what's her name? Is it Jess McDonald with the braids?
Yeah.
Right. What she went through, you know, being a mother and being told like, yo, you can't do that anymore. Like, and she went and she struggled and she trained on her own and she did exactly what she had to do. And remember when we had some of the folks from the Trinidad and Tobago women's team, that they were flying themselves out to training and setting up their own trainings at high schools. This is a big deal. Think about all of those other women that didn't make it, the Danny Calapricos and the Huertas and all these girls that are absolutely incredible at their jobs, and they're such great soccer players. And now they're playing in these teams that, you know, where they have to do a lot of things that maybe some of the early MLS teams had to do.
Sure.
And why not support that? Why not go out and check it out?
So go, if you want to go to an NWSL game or an MLS game or whatever, you want to show some support and keep that soccer buzz going, you make sure you use SeatGeek.
Yeah, download, what better place?
Download the SeatGeek app. It's incredibly easy to use, and you can get kind of the best prices for, any of the games.
Yeah.
And make sure you use the promo code Cooligans for $10 off your first purchase. So it's incredibly easy to use. And make sure you'll be supporting us while you'll be supporting yourself and saving some money. Do it. Okay. So let's get through that recap of our experience with the Women's World Cup.
Were you nervous about it? Because we didn't talk about what we our predictions.
I wasn't nervous before the game, but I was nervous probably after the 12th minute when we usually the U.S. was scoring in the first 12 minutes of basically every game.
Yeah,
and I was like, after the 12th minute, I'm like, okay,
what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?
This doesn't feel right. You know.
Come on. Look, can we restart this thing?
But I was
also Grant Wall put out that tweet saying the of all the teams, the team that held the U.S. the longest without a goal was Thailand.
Yeah,
which is insane to think. But you know, all of a sudden you see that.
But then the floodgates are very much opened.
I mean, it was very a tale of two halves. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think in the first half, it's a lot like, I think something that a lot of people don't understand about soccer, you do if you listen to this podcast, it's like watching a boxer jab a little bit, just trying to find where the openings are, how fast is this guy going to flinch or this woman going to flinch, things like that. It's kind of like that, especially at a final. Finals are never really entertaining, right? Like Champions League finals are all kind of like very defensive, like, no, I'm not going to try, I'm not going to go crazy.
Yeah, nobody wants to lose. That's how they play.
And there's something about the women's team, the U.S. women's team, where like you kind of have to... You have to make those like long channel runs. You have to make those late runs. You have to do those things. You have to push forward in order to play the game we play. Yeah. And when they started doing that, and I'm not going to say that it was all because Allie Krieger was in there, but I mean,
no goals happened until Allie Krieger got on the pitch. So
what I'm saying is she's the reason. Okay. But like when you see that, you're like, boom.
And by association, we are the reason.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it's just, you can't argue with science, yeah. Right? So, but yes, after the second half was definitely a much different game. And I think I was kind of nervous initially, like losing. Kelly O'Hara is a great player.
Incredible player.
So you wonder like, oh, is the chemistry going to be sort of affected? Or is it going to make the team a little bit more nervous? Especially no coach realistically wants to sub out a defender.
Nobody.
Right? Even when.
Well, let's be honest. If her name was Allie Vanderkrieger, she'd be starting on the Netherlands team. You know what I mean?
I don't know what the point of that
what
is.
What I'm saying is Allie Krieger would be a starter.
She's very good. Yes.
So that's a hell of a backup.
I completely agree. I'm not.
Sorry that I did it in a creative way.
Yes. Vanderkrieger. It's would be quite a, you know, the long jersey or the name on the jersey. But
there was one called Vanderdunk, and I was like, yeah.
She got a Vanderdunk.
Damn. Get it, girl. Who's that? You. Show your ex on Instagram what you're missing.
So I was a little nervous because from the attack, I was just a little concerned. I actually wasn't outside of like the one or two opportunities on counters that Netherlands did have. I wasn't really that worried, and I wasn't worried like that even with Kelly O'Hara leaving that the U.S. was going to realistically give up a goal.
No.
But I was worried that they were going to have a tougher time scoring.
And let's be honest, Netherlands is an incredible team.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're really good at passing, moving the ball. They can get into positions that were clearly creating some struggle positions for the U.S. Women's National Team.
Yeah, and I think they matched up pretty well. We didn't have the clear advantage of like just a bigger like a player like Sam Mewis and who would just body everybody and get the ball. Netherlands had a couple players that were just like, yeah, we're as big as you, Sam.
I don't think there was one, because even Rose Lavelle, who's clearly the most creative person on that entire pitch, she was getting hounded. Double, triple teamed.
Yeah.
So they were sort of stifling her ability to do her job. No one was like, yo, clearly the standout until Kristen Press came in. Fresh legs, but she was sunning everybody.
Sure. But I mean, but obviously the defining moment the big moment was the penalty. I forget who the ball came from. I think it was from Tobin Heath to Alex Morgan.
And Alex Morgan gets kicked in the shoulder.
They kicked in the shoulder.
And they had to go to VAR for that?
Yeah, it was I wish that penalty didn't happen. Like, it is a penalty, but I just like I would have wanted. I thought Netherlands was a very good team, and I wish they would have. If the game was 1-0 with the goal of Rose Lavelle, I would feel better for the Netherlands as far
what
as
the hell are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm saying I felt bad that the game was decided by. It was a foul, but it was like it wasn't egregious. That's what I'm saying.
She got kicked in the shoulder.
She didn't get. I mean, the boot touched her shoulder. I wouldn't say kicked.
Look, I'm not a lawyer, and I know some of you are wondering if I am.
You call the penalty 100 times.
It should have been a red card.
I disagree with that.
Your foot can't be that high.
But it's not a red. There's a difference between a red catching somebody's face and catching somebody's shoulder.
No, it could cause injury. Your foot's not supposed to be that high. End of the story.
Yes, you got a yellow for it.
It should have been red.
I disagree. So whatever.
Rose Lavelle's goal, golazo. I don't know why no one called it that yet. It should be. That was a beast goal. And that defender was trying to keep her on the right. Don't let her go to the left. Don't let her go to the left.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're like, why can't I see her anymore? Bro, you got spun.
Yeah. So, but the goal from, first, the penalty from Megan Rapinoe, I thought was huge. And the fact that her calmness with everything that she's gone through, and literally she's been on the firing line of like everything from politics.
But she literally got every trophy you could get.
Everything that you could buy. You
she
wanted
might
her
have
to
won
fail.
Second place.
You wanted her to fail. She not only did she win the damn trophy for the team, but she won every personal accolade that you could get in that tournament.
She got everything.
Yeah. So
as many boxes that we had on the table is how many trophies she had.
So as
she had to check a bag.
So as Mero would say from Desus and Mero, suck my dick from the back.
Yeah. You heard? Yeah.
That's basically what Megan Rapinoe was doing, saying to people. So I thought I was there's. And you had tweeted this as well about like the difference, and we had talked about this as well about the difference, the way we feel watching the women's national team versus the men's national team, where the women's national team, the storyline is just better.
It's also like you want to root for them, and I want to root for the men. I'm a big fan of the men's national team, but it's different. Like we have a higher expectation of what they're supposed to be doing, and they've failed and blah blah. The women's team just keep giving you reasons to want to love them even more.
And they still work. They work for the same federation that is still like mildly inept, right?
Which is why I said, look, I want them both to be paid the same. But if you were to ask me just based on Sunday, and I know we haven't talked about the men's game losing to Mexico. If you ask me just based on Sunday, who should be paid more? I think it's an easy answer.
If I could give the currency and joy that they give, like, I mean, the women are earning more, right? Yeah. They're earning more of my joy.
1,200 people freaking out. Maybe 100 of them were Holland fans. So 1,100 people freaking out. And no one, you know, it was like a joyous occasion. That's what the women's national team gave us. I don't understand how they're not getting paid the same.
Sure. I bet you
the men made as much losing to Mexico in the Copa America as they did winning the World Cup.
That's very. I could see that. Yeah, that is very possible. There's a lot of things at hand. There are the issues with FIFA not supporting the federations, and then they're the federations not supporting the women's game. So there's a lot of people to be mad at. But it was cool to see the level of the ratings that were incredible for in the U.S. in several other countries.
Broke records in 62 countries.
So that's something to be something to acknowledge, and hopefully that will inspire FIFA to be like, all right, well, now if we invest more, then maybe one day the women's game can make as much as the men's game,
and we'll reap more benefits.
Yeah, as far
you just stand to make more money.
They love money, okay?
So do we.
One dude was buying homes just for his kittens.
Right.
Okay. So they clearly enjoy money.
You had a Trump Tower apartment for cats. Y'all know what to do with money.
All right. Why can't you be as corrupt for the women's game as well? That's all we're asking.
Right.
Equality.
Even amount of corruption. Which, by the way, I mean, you really warm my heart with that, Christian. You know, this is all we're asking is an equal amount of corruption. Alexis, a little bit of deception on both sides.
Alexis is like, my little boy's growing up.
Yeah. Why don't we deceive the same on both sides?
Okay. All right. We're all trying to get that bag. That's all right. All.
Come on. Let everybody get a little bit of the bag.
Who cares if the bag has a little bit of blood on it?
Oh, we won't ask whose. We'll keep the bag just in case you start to go a little crazy. We got evidence.
Oh, exactly. Okay. We definitely need to have some leverage from time to time.
Yeah. Strong arming is a big part of what we're here for at the Cooligans.
So, look, it was overall just incredible. And then, and today, Tuesday when we're recording this, the women arriving, doing the media tour and all this other stuff.
They're in New York. They're crushing it. They're getting ready.
And we were talking about the Instagram stories we have to kind of like dissect these a little bit and analyze these because the locker room, if they're gone now, but there was somebody that recorded them all and put them on Twitter. If you just look up Ashton Harris on Twitter, you'll find all her IG stories that will be archived in some presidential library.
You put it in the Library of Congress.
Because the Rapino Presidential Library, that's where they need to go. Ashton Harris really went off, right? And we were talking about it a little bit, but it really is. It was one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen.
You never get that sort of
from
viewpoint.
An athlete, from just any athlete, just like the level of swearing.
Amazing.
Amazing. Okay.
They are themselves. I notice this a lot when we interview some of the guys that play soccer. They hold back when they know there's a camera on, or even if it's on, in front of their own social media. These girls were like, nah, son, we gonna be us. It's booty music is blasting.
And that's it.
Right. I mean, you've a lot of polish, a lot of media polish on these ladies until they win a World Cup. All of a sudden, some darlings of the team are twerking.
Honestly, my favorite moment, and I don't know if any children are listening, but we swear from time to time. But my favorite moment was
we don't fucking swear.
My favorite moment was all the ladies of the women's national team singing, "I'm gonna knock that pussy out like Fight Night."
Yeah. Wow.
Whoa, okay. And you know what? And Ashlyn's holding her phone, and I'm like, you know what? I believe her.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest.
I believe her.
Did you co-write the song, Ashlyn?
Okay, I didn't know. I think Ashlyn beats it up.
Yeah. she makes a pop. Damn, yo. Magic City? Is that what it is?
Because, whoa.
Wow.
The level of confidence from that IG was wild. Yeah,
but it makes you want to hang with them so much more.
Without a doubt, man.
And I remember Ali Long, just before the championship game, like a day or two, put up a video of them just dancing in the locker room. And that's a big part of what they do. Like they're always dancing. Everybody talks about how much
they're
dance.
They're very much a team.
But like they seem like they all want to hang out with each other. They seem like they're all having a good time. And it made me want to have a good time. I'm like, I want to hang out with these people.
Exactly. I want to twerk with all you ladies.
Yeah, you think Christian Pulisic is twerking? Okay. Weston McKennie, yes.
Weston McKennie, without a doubt,
100%, big dancer. But you think Michael Bradley is getting low? You think he's getting his eagle on?
It's not as fun. Okay, all right.
Get your eagle on, Michael Bradley.
Can Christian Rodan do a stanky leg? Yeah. I don't even know.
No, we know Charlie Davies can. Stanky leg was his thing.
Yeah, it was. Okay. So it was really, really incredible. And I think
I bet you if I pulled up to Josie and I said, girl, shake that, he'd be laughing, tapping, he'd say it. But I'm sure Ariola would be like, what was that? You know?
So the it was incredibly entertaining, not just the game itself, but really what it all meant, and the fact that they were so heavily criticized from our president with all the don't talk until you win, and they shut everybody
up. A lot
of
people that love this country were rooting for Netherlands.
That's right.
Big shot.
Okay. Those patriots.
Big shot.
So, but it was entertaining, and we're happy for them. And yeah, hopefully, maybe we can get the World Cup trophy in here someday.
Oh, that's a goal.
That's a goal. All right.
That's a goal. So, a lot of people are like, we're going to be drinking champagne out of it. I'm like, there is no cup.
So the parade is happening today in New York. So hopefully you're there. We're going to be there hanging out.
Yeah. Turn on, if you're listening to this while it's happening, we're probably going to be on like IG Live or something. So
yeah. So make sure to follow us on all our social channels. Okay. Before we get to the Gold Cup and the men's list, let's remind everybody about this Friday and Saturday. We are going to be at Audi Field in D.C. We're going to be doing a live show with Total Soccer Show.
It still doesn't feel like we're allowed to do it. It still feels like we're breaking in. We're breaking and entering.
Correct. So, no, we have, we're permitted to be there. Yeah, I promise.
We have clearance.
But we are going to be doing a live show, and we can announce our first two guests. We've already announced it on social media. Our first guest to announce is Pablo Mara.
MLSist
at MLSist on Twitter. He is going. If you are a fan of American soccer, you've definitely come across either an article or a photo.
If you're a fan of American soccer, if you're a fan of weird stuff from the early days of MLS, videos of that.
Yep.
If you're a fan of old cars, if you're a fan of abandoned buildings, you know this guy.
Pablo Mara is he writes. He's a journalist for The Athletic, and incredibly funny, super talented, and we're excited to have him on the show. He covers DC United, so we'll have a lot to talk to him about.
For sure. And remember him, he snitched on me for dipping a Maria cookie in my beer.
As you should.
I'm Cuban.
Pablo, his wife was appreciative.
I'm Cuban. Respect my culture. Okay?
He's going to be dipping cookies in that barbecue sauce soon. Watch.
You have no idea. You know bread's going right in that joint.
So, and our second guest to announce, we can announce.
This is it.
Jason Davis.
Hey.
Of SiriusXM. He is a United States of Soccer. You hear him every day on the radio on SiriusXM, and
that's
he
right.
will be there as well. He's also lives in the DMV area. So mm-hmm. he's going to be coming through Audi Field talking some smack.
Okay.
Okay, you know how you send him them angry tweets?
Hi. He remembers all of them. He prints them out. Towels his wall with it.
Okay. He has a problem. Trust me.
It's not a healthy way of handling criticism.
But we're trying to get him help.
Yeah, that's what this is. You're coming to Audi Field for the intervention.
No, man, we love Jason. Jason's been on our show, and we've been on his show as well. And we're excited to have him on the live event.
It's going
to
be a blast.
So come through for that, because that's going to be super cool.
Guys, there's not a lot of tickets left.
I think we can kind of, there's literally like maybe 20 tickets left. So get them.
There's nothing left.
Right? If you have any hesitancy at all, you need to get those tickets right now. So soccercooligans.com/DC, get those tickets.
Us, Total Soccer Show, Pablo Maurer, Jason again, Davis, and there's more to be announced.
Exactly. So you don't have too much time left. All right. So, so let's talk about the Gold Cup. The United States men's national team lose.
We could have done the double.
His and hers trophies.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
They lose 1-0 to Mexico.
We should send the men's team the Instagram stories of the women's national team celebrating and say, this could be us.
Hey, what are you gonna do? So they lose 1-0 to Mexico. I think this is, first of all, my biggest issue with the Gold Cup is that it's every 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit much.
Right? So it's difficult. This is why a lot of players don't play in it, right? Especially from Mexico, right? Carlitos Vela, probably one of the smartest, or not smartest per se. I wouldn't say the most beneficial things that could have happened to LAFC was Carlos Vela not going to the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because basically, it's like a Jewish holiday in a school, and nobody's there's barely nobody there.
Or like, you know, like you can't afford to go on the field trip, but you go to school and they're like, whatever, you can just watch movies. And you're like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Well, that's, what a sad thing. Have you had that happen to you?
That's never happened to you?
A sad thing to have happened to a child.
I never went on the field trip. I went on one.
You couldn't afford to go.
No, I couldn't afford the ones that you pay, like the free ones. Yeah, like the school set up, I would go to those.
Yeah, Alexis loves free things. Trust me.
Can you tell? I didn't realize no one else went through this. Hold on.
Just got a sad kid in a dark room with a projector watching.
Dude, I used to get to eat lunch at the teacher's lounge. It was cool because it was like no one in the lunchroom. It was literally me and like.
That's what the MLS is for Carlos Vela. Yeah. Everybody's gone. He's like, all right,
it's the teacher's lounge.
This is real easy.
So you would just have a bowl of. You know, tampons and crackers in the teacher's lounge.
He's like scoring goals on all these ducks. I don't know these dudes. Who are these people?
Yeah, nobody knows these scabs. These are union scabs, dude.
So the fact that it's every 2 years, that the Gold Cup is every 2 years.
It's like Africa Cup of Nations. It's happening too much.
It's difficult to be like, we won. Yeah. Even when we won in 2017, I'm like, all right, what does this mean?
I mean, we're doing it again next week, guys.
Yeah, and they have that weird rule that they can bring in player. Like this, I don't think they had it this time, but the last Gold Cup, they had a rule that you can bring in the final roster after the group stage. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where it was like Josie came in after the group stage.
So you come in for the knockout.
Yeah, yeah. So... weird. It's like a tournament that doesn't, because it happens so much, its rarity is sort of taken away, and its uniqueness. It's not like the Euro. I mean, it's the equivalent of the Euros, and the Euros are every 4 years.
Euros have a bit of a different feel to them.
Correct. But they feel almost as important as a World Cup.
Yes.
Right? Because the competition in Europe collectively makes up the majority, really, of the World Cup. So
sure.
Yeah, it makes sense that...
It's like watching a mini World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
So, when you watch this, it's kind of like watching a mini CONCACAF Champions League.
But the good thing about the Gold Cup and its frequency is that it does allow... Caribbean nations to kind of grow and keep and try to keep up and stuff.
Who
like
leveled
that
up more than Curacao this year?
But Haiti.
Haiti. True.
Without a doubt.
Good point.
Yeah, yeah. So no, but
even Canada looked great. I mean, this is clearly it's a benefit in some sense.
Exactly. But it would be I would be fine if they added more teams but made it every 4 years.
I mean, not just Japan.
Oh, you like bring in Copa America. But the final result, I mean, what can we really take from it? The
An
US
MLS player scored. That's the benefit.
That was great. Jonathan Dos Santos scores a great goal. But
Josie missed a wild chance. I mean, we've said this so many times. It's just
like, again, we can go over and break down the details of why the U.S.
go back about 100 episodes and hit play.
This game. But, the shout out to Total Soccer Show because they did a really great review of this game. I think their most recent podcast, or the 2 days ago when you listen to this. And they did point out the things I didn't really notice, which was the second half sort of changes that Tata Martino made. And he really did outcoach Greg Berhalter. And basically Pulisic was taken out of the game.
I wonder if anyone had mentioned that when Tata Martino wasn't interviewed. I wonder who said.
I don't know.
If the two ever meet and Tata Martino outcoaches Greg Berhalter.
Yeah.
That should be, what's his name? Who's the GM? Ernie Stewart.
Ernie Stewart.
That should be Ernie Stewart's job. I wonder if anybody who's a little big but kind of sexy, lost some weight, has said that. Yeah. I did. Did I not say this would happen?
You did say this would happen, and it happened. And look, the result in itself, it would have been nice if the U.S. won. It would have been look at the other side. If Mexico lost, I think it would have been more tragic if Mexico lost, given how they've been playing. And sort of the run that they've been on, but for the U.S., I don't think this is not a big deal. This loss, they lost to Mexico 1-0.
If they won, would it have been a big deal? It would have been great.
I disagree. I don't think it would have been a big deal, especially if they would have won 1-0 to Mexico. It definitely would have felt good. But I'm not angry with how the U.S. played against Mexico. They got beat. They got beat in this particular game. But I think on another day, maybe these same players,
right,
against the same Mexican players, I think the result might be different. Look, Josie doesn't miss that chance. Pulisic doesn't miss that chance. Oh, it was a great save from Memo Ochoa. But there were opportunities. And the fact that I think Greg Berhalter will handle things a little differently if they play Mexico again. It was just, I think, they were saying on Total Soccer, I think he just got outcoached. The little changes that Tata made, specifically, he had Edson Alvarez marking Christian Pulisic, and Pulisic couldn't touch the ball. He had no time to really move with the ball. Things like that. When you see that, you just think, oh well, Berhalter didn't know what to do or really know what to change to kind of get around.
His system is very rigid.
Yeah.
So if you come up against something like that, you can't just move a player. You know what I mean? His system is relatively rigid. But I think Total Soccer Show also said they think Mexico has bought into Tata's system,
yeah,
and is more familiar with it than the U.S. is familiar with Greg Berhalter's. And I agree. Even though they seem to kind of have roughly the same amount of time, there's not that big of a gap between when they were both hired. But think about how much further along we would be if we didn't wait a goddamn year,
yeah,
for that hire to happen. This is something that's going to, the effects of this are going to be continuing to be felt, because I think American soccer continues to do this thing where we think we're in a bubble. Other teams are doing other things. They're advancing further than we are. That, like, Haiti is advancing at a faster rate than we are. Is it sustainable? Who knows? Canada is advancing at a faster rate than we are. Is it sustainable? Who knows? But people are making changes. It's not just us. We're not the only, not everyone is staying stagnant, and we're the ones out here just trying to figure out who to hire in a year. And I get that there was a lot of stuff going on with, you know, the Columbus Crew, and it wasn't a great time to make the move. The U.S. national team has to make their move. You have to hire someone. You can't go a year having, you know, babysat.
Well, I mean, we can't continue to be mad at them for a thing that
that's part of what we do on the show.
They hired somebody. This is who we have. I mean, look, it's old stuff. I mean, we can be mad forever about it, but now we have
things affect what's happening.
We
today.
Have to hold Greg Berhalter accountable, and he did not do a great job in this game against Mexico. That's it. So the player, I wasn't, obviously the subs were weird and Lovitz and Roldan. And it's like, and then what happened to Tyler Boyd? Why he seemed in the group stage, he was doing great.
Great.
And then he doesn't play in the last two games. So it's like, what exactly is going on? There seems to be a little bit of...
He spelled Greg's name with only two G's?
How dare you!
Boyd!
You are off the team!
Get out of here! Go stand in the corner!
Wear that penny. You ain't taking it off.
Yeah. Put on this dunce cap.
So we leave the Gold Cup with some questions, but with the way that the friendlies were leading up to the Gold Cup, and then the U.S. kind of fixing those things and winning some games and winning sort of decisively, you got to be a little bit, you got to give him some credit there. You got to give Berhalter some credit there because he did kind of right the ship to some degree. And they were probably going to lose to Mexico. No, not nobody really thought like we got them.
Yeah, I agree.
So...
But look, at least it's only 1-0. We didn't get bodied.
Exactly.
But again, we had opportunities, and yet again.
I mean, you can be mad at. I mean, the Josie miss is infuriating. I mean, just how you are a top tier American striker.
It didn't even get saved. It just went wide.
Just hit the post.
Hit the keeper right in the eyes.
Aim for right between the eyes, bro. Yeah.
Not until you see the whites of their eyes. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's just that is kind of the frustrating. And maybe you can say that the flip-flopping between Zardes and Altidore is why he missed that shot, because he wasn't getting the minutes. Maybe he didn't get the reps that he needed to kind of be a bit more confident taking that shot.
The frustrating part is
because people were saying that that Josie Altidore might have had a hamstring issue or whatever, but when
clearly there was some sensitivity there. They were holding him. They were holding him back.
But yeah. when he was asked about it after the game, they asked him like why he didn't play as much as he may have wanted to. He was like, I don't know, I'm fine. So he didn't throw Greg under the bus, but he was like, I don't know. I'm showing up to work.
Can you tell me?
Tell me. You got the microphone, you know?
I don't think him and or Zardes are the people that should be starting in the World Cup. If we don't have a replacement for either one of these guys,
I mean,
by the time the World Cup comes.
I agree. I mean, but like, and then who is that? Is it Sargent? Is it?
Maybe Tyler can play up front.
Who knows?
He's not a good hold-up guy, I don't think. Not nearly as good as Josie, and I'll give Josie credit for that. He's an incredible hold-up guy. Way better than Zardes, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible bicycle kick also. You know, whatever. We could go over this forever.
But he did get another bicycle. He made a bicycle kick earlier in the tournament, right?
I wasn't technically.
Oh, was that in Toronto?
Kick.
I don't remember when that
happened. More of an upside-down kick. It wasn't really a bicycle because you have to lift with one leg and kick with the other.
Yeah, because Alexis regularly does bicycle kicks, and he knows really the intricacies of a perfect bicycle kick.
If you're going to go to one person for bicycle kick knowledge, it's this guy.
Come to bicycle kick school, yeah. Alexis Guerreros.
Hey, why don't you go ask that guy who just swigged barbecue sauce right out of the box?
Or Alexis Carreros.
How could you misspell my name? I spelled it for you.
Yes, when we were on local news on Pix 11.
That was Pix 11.
Yeah, they asked for our names, and they said to say our names and spell our names. And Alexis,
we did both of those things.
We did both of those things. They recorded it.
And apparently it wasn't good enough.
And somebody listened to it maybe for a half a second. Maybe you said like they heard the last like 3-4 letters and they were like, I got it. Yeah, I know what this is.
Dude, they were like, don't even listen to the spelling. I heard him say it. We're good. Was it loud there? Yeah, but we're all right.
But it was kind of serendipitous given the fact that you've never gotten anyone's name correct on this show. That was pretty funny.
It's fair. Kristen Dunn.
Kristen Dunn. We love her.
I was going to say Dunst, but... No, look, I don't mind.
When Crystal Dunn kissed Spider-Man upside down in that movie.
Oh, I remember. By the way, you got that bobblehead way wrong if you were looking for Kristen Dunst. So I don't mind that they misspelled my name because it led to a lot of people sending us screen caps and stuff. So I thought it was kind of cool. It was the only way we would have known we were on these channels.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were interviewed by a lot of people. No one told us we made it. I walked into a New York Comedy Club and two of the waitresses were like, you were on New York One. I was like, oh, I didn't know.
For New Yorkers, being on New York One is like as being getting on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the biggest deal. It's the channel that's always on.
It's on everywhere.
Because when
one guy reads the paper, that's his job. he will actually flip through the papers and tell you what's in the newspapers.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know Spectrum in New York, right?
Used to go by Time Warner Cable.
Used to go by Time Warner Cable, but New York One, so it's not now Spectrum One or Spectrum New York One. It is the Channel One. So when
it's the first channel.
When you turn on the cable box, it's the channel that it defaults on.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just watch that.
Yeah.
So
and it's great. They have like weather on the ones.
Weather on the ones.
As soon as the time has a one as the last digit, they tell you the weather.
It's a great system. All right. It's all we know.
It makes sense. It plays it like public schools. It plays everywhere.
All right. Yo, when there's a snow day, yo, you turn on New York One. All right. That's where you get your information.
Yo, is it garbage day? Put it on New York One.
All right. So look, it is now a credit on our resumes, right?
Because done. Hey, you have no idea how much of an honor it is to be playing in bodegas. We were on in bodegas. Bodega Cats saw us.
and you know, Bodega Cats are the people who make and break anybody in this.
But when they said you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Yeah, as long as Bodega Cats allow it.
Okay.
They'll send you right back to your hometown.
We know who runs this city.
All right? Okay? Don't you dare try to get them off that bread. Pick a different bread.
That ain't your bread.
That's his nap time.
How dare you?
Can't you see him lounging?
So it was an honor to be on that. So let's real quick do... we got to talk about a couple MLS games that happened that were just absolutely...
There was a lot of soccer this weekend.
Literally
as
exhausting.
Many boxes as we got.
Also, congrats to Brazil. They won Copa America.
Oh, that's right.
It was another...
Shouts to Peru. Came Peru, in second.
Awesome. Right? You know, they got a goal.
You got a striker that wasn't allowed because you know, but he's back in the competition. Look how well you did.
I don't know. It's just a lot of speculation. I don't know what happened. That was Guerrero, speaking of.
Carrera. Pablo Carrera.
So.
No, that wasn't me. That was Pablo Carrera out there with that white.
So, a couple of MLS games that we have to talk about. Let's talk about NYCFC against the Portland Timbers. I was at the game. I went there right after the Women's World Cup final. And NYCFC loses their second game to the Portland Timbers. They lose their second game of the season to the Portland Timbers.
Oh, real quick. Well, since you mentioned that, I performed at New York Comedy Club, and there were two Cooligans fans in the room, but I had to run to another show afterwards, so I didn't get to say hi to them.
Oh, okay.
So just before I forget, if you're still listening, shouts to you. It was a girl and a guy, but I was like... I'm one of the Cooligans, and these two people went absolutely ballistic. And I was like, you don't even know what it is. And they're like, no, it's the soccer podcast. It's hilarious. And I was like, okay, great. Awesome.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the support. It's always great when Cooligans fans come out to
so
our comedy
you are,
shows.
Send us a message.
Yeah, please.
You know, maybe we'll give you free tickets to another show or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll see
Alexis,
if I feel like
it's very conditional with Alexis.
Maybe I'll let you drink from Christian's barbecue sauce. We don't know.
He has a tough time really making any commitments to, to anybody
or
anything.
I don't know, I've been married for 13 years. I think I'm fine.
NYCFC did lose this game, 1-0. But off of a, it was a weird game overall because NYCFC did play there. Like, it was like the third game, I think, in like 8 days or 10 days or something like that. A lot of lineup injuries.
A lot of changes, yeah.
Matriza's injured. Eber is injured. Definitely not the full team.
Medina still plays like he's injured.
Medina did play, but you know, they don't expect too much out of him.
No. We only paid $7 million, so relax.
So the game itself was pretty intense. I thought the Timbers really whenever they play there, they have to it's given the fact that, especially with the form that NYCFC has been in this season, they were, the Timbers, I think, were the underdogs here. Mm-hmm. But they did what they sort of just needed to do. They were aggressive enough against NYCFC, a team that had been, you know, had played a lot of games, and it really wasn't their strongest like roster. Not that that's any real excuse, because NYCFC did play pretty well.
Yeah.
And the Timbers, it was like almost a defensive master class / absolute miracle saves from time to time. There were just some shots that were just like from 6 yards out that they found some way to clear off the line or block, or Steve Clark made a great save or something. Like, everything right happened, and NYCFC just made one mistake, and that's it. And that was
the
game.
That's all it takes.
But it was cool. to see the Timbers Army in full force. They're one of the most well traveled teams. I honestly did think that this is where the issue. You know, Megan Rapinoe was talking about it a lot, about like the World Cup final being scheduled on the same day as like all these other finals and all these other things. This was a pretty lightly attended game for how good the fixture was.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much.
There was so much going on.
There's only so much soccer people could take. You know?
Yeah. So that's that was like, even though, but even with that, Timbers Army was out in full force. They also have
a bunch that live here. They have the Gotham Timbers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Gotham Company.
Gotham Company. Yeah. But there were a bunch of traveling.
Yeah.
Fans.
No. I mean, I'm not saying that.
That was super cool.
I mean, it's not a bad city to come to. You know what I mean?
I agree. And our boy,
just like Kenosha, Wisconsin. United,
you know? our boy Eric Keating was the capo for Timbers Army that game, so that was cool to see.
What an honor, man!
And I told him you better never capo again during a game because they won. So yeah. we don't need that kind of advantage.
No. Go do that in RBA. You don't do that over here.
Not here, buddy. But congrats to the Portland Timbers. It was an entertaining game, and the NYCFC looks forward to the Open Cup game against Orlando. So they're actually, like, I think genuinely going for that trophy. And this is the semifinal, right? I believe semifinal.
Yes.
No, not semi, quarterfinal.
It's quarterfinal. Is it?
Yeah, because Atlanta has their game as well against St. Louis FC. So there's eight teams.
This is the quarterfinal.
Okay.
LAFC versus Portland, Minnesota United versus New Mexico United, Atlanta United versus St. Louis FC, Orlando City versus NYCFC.
Okay, so that's going to be a game. It's interesting. I'm curious what lineup NYCFC is going to have available given some of the injuries, because they're not going to. I don't think they're going to have Matrito or Bear again, but it should be an entertaining game. So the other
we also have the derby right after that. So Dome has to rest some players. Because the game against the Rebels is also coming up. So it's a sort of a tough position to be put in.
Correct. And so, speaking of the New York Rebels, Atlanta United played against the New York Rebels. They hosted them at Mercedes-Benz. And in what was the most...
BWP is back.
The most entertaining game in MLS this weekend. An incredible game, and I was saying when
it was like when two boxers decide not to block anymore and just go for it. It's how it felt.
It was wild. A lot happened, but the game was speaking of rivalries, that's it. We were talking about it before and the last time when Atlanta took the trip to Harrison, New Jersey. But these teams hate each other. They cannot stand each other. They show it with every challenge, with every tackle, with every, you know, Joseph scores the penalty, tries to get the ball, gets into a bit of a little scuffle with Luis Robles.
Also, he got what I think, for me as a big guy, amounts to completely naked after scoring a goal.
That's too much skin
for
you? There
was so much Joseph Martinez I saw in one single frame of a television
I think
shot.
He took his shoes off too, man.
I saw toes. I saw the bottom of his feet. I saw the cracks in his heel. It was a lot. It was a lot of Joseph Martinez on that screen. How tiny are your shorts, my guy? At some point, those aren't soccer shorts. Those are underwear.
Maybe because Tito Villalba is injured. Maybe he's kind of...
Fine, I'll show my thighs.
I'll show my thighs. Somebody got to show their thighs.
Yeah, I mean, what are we going to be, under our quota?
Really? You know what? I'm looking at the lineup right now. Not enough thighs.
Yeah. I got to get out there and show some quad guys.
So, yes.
Julian, get out there. I'm not very comfortable. I don't know where that accent is.
No, he took off his shirt after the goal in that was like around the 90th minute, 91st minute, and...
BW was like, everybody slow down.
Everybody, you know,
you might want to put your shirt back on.
Not over just yet. Yeah. But no, that was definitely like pretty entertaining, right? Like him, the showmanship.
Yeah.
We just got to appreciate Joseph Martinez for what he is and what he does.
It's entertaining as hell.
Without a doubt.
Even if you hate, I mean, this is probably the most hated rivalry. Right? This is the most heated rivalry.
Yeah, heated rivalry. Hated rivalries.
No, well, doesn't really... both those teams are also hated. But this is the most heated rivalry in MLS now, right?
Currently, it feels like it, because they seem to be consistently...
Seattle-Portland, maybe. But it doesn't feel the same way it used to. This feels
maybe
fresh.
Maybe for like the support... like. the supporters, there seems to be an equal disdain from the supporters through to the actual players and on both sides. And it's not at its peak, like, boiling point with the other teams, even with, like, you know, with Galaxy and Earthquakes, they each want to win. We know that, but there isn't, like, as consistent for tackle to tackle, ball to ball, pass to pass, everything. There seems to be something with the Red Bulls. There's so much trash talking.
It feels like the players don't really like each other either, like, across the front to the bottom.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
So I just said front to bottom. That makes no sense. I think that's how you're not supposed to wipe. if you're a lady.
We're running out of gas, everybody. I haven't had water. I'm like, I think that barbecue sauce took a lot out of me.
I think it spiked. I just said front to bottom. I'm an idiot. Why do you listen to this show? Come see this live in D.C. this weekend. SoccerCooligans.com/DC.
Go for it. So, after they were up 3-2, it seemed like it was over. Even the announcer was like, well, this one's over. Yeah. Surely they won the game.
Feel free to leave right now.
But no, Bradley Wright Phillips, who comes in, I believe, for Brian White. And he's been out for a while, injured. And then also Brian White's just been playing well. So there's no real reason to take him out. But now, I was watching one of the MLS videos, and Kalen Carr was suggesting that maybe this could be BWP's, like, new role, maybe as a super sub, maybe the Carly Lloyd of the Red Bulls. I don't think he's there yet, per se, but it's not a bad position to have two, you know, strikers that are in form, and then you sub one out, and it's like almost a one-to-one replacement.
I mean, he's also probably the guy you want to come off your bench, someone of that skill and that ilk.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a DP, you know, it doesn't stand for don't play. You know what I mean? Like,
you heard it here first, folks.
In case you were wondering.
Some people didn't know.
It stands for front to bottom. Everyone knows that. That you want someone of his, if you're paying him that much money, he's got to play. It's something we've said about Barco, something we've said about Medina. It's exactly what you're going to say about BWP. You pay someone DP money, want him to play.
Yeah, BWP is not he's not in the same situation as Jesus Medina. Yeah,
but that was the first time he scored in like 15 games or something crazy like that.
But he hadn't played. I'm saying he was hurt. And after he was cleared, I think he realistically only missed about like 4 or 5 games, I think. But regardless, he looks all right, because he gets the game tying goal in the 93rd minute after it was a weird play, right? Because it and this is where a player like BWP is so where you see his skill, because he is not, again, we always talk about this, he's not the fastest guy.
No.
He's not the most technical. He's not whatever, but
his spacing is out of this
world. Spacing is great. His movement is great. And he knows where to be. That ball was ridiculously, like, how did it get through so many people with nobody making an active attempt to go for it? You know what I mean? Like, it was a great pass.
Sometimes you see that where a cross goes through like a lot of traffic and no one touched it. It goes out the other way. You're like, how the hell that happened?
Yeah, so it's almost impossible. But this was a ball that it seemed like I don't remember who made the pass. I'll look at the box score so I can see who got the assist. But the fact that it was it seemed like it was just the passer and BWP on the pitch and no one else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Including a goalkeeper.
Because when you see BWP, it froze everybody.
Yeah.
Because when you see, everyone thought the ball was going to get picked up by somebody else.
Yeah.
So everyone,
you got to know, I got to know. Oh, yeah, I know you had.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. But even like the Red Bulls players, they were like, oh, that was a bad pass. And they was like, oh, BWP put it back in the.
Oh, wow.
Oh, whoa, okay.
When did he get out here?
So that's sort of what, like, it was generally kind of just a bit surprising. But the fact that BWP knew exactly where to be and put himself in a position where only he could get the ball, that's his bread and butter, man. That's why he is as good as he is.
Well, now I'm hungry.
So But the game itself, yes, ended 3-3. Jeff Lorenowitz gets a red card for stomping. I forgot who he was stomped, but it was just like he pushed another dude, like literally.
This is the Chris Armas effect. You can't have a Puerto Rican from the Bronx and not learn a few things. You know what I mean? It's part of the dark arts, my guy.
Jeff Lorenowitz looked like he, I don't know if he lost his cool or. I think this look, they get to each
whatever
other.
Whatever he did, it looked better than Messi and Medel's fight, which looked like two guys whose arms were in traction.
Yes, yes, yeah. In the Copa America, the third place game.
Embarrassing.
Where Messi belongs.
Yeah. Well, actually, out of that game.
Yeah. So, but there is clearly the last game against the Red Bulls at Red Bull Arena ended with Kamar Lawrence and Theodore Villaba getting into his face, a big scuffle. Everybody, it looked like a clearing the benches, like in baseball.
Mean, this is kind of what I want to see anyway. Like, if you guys don't like each other, let's go. That little bit of chippiness, that's good.
It felt very much like a continuation of that last game. And these teams, they just want, this is how it's going to be for the next couple of years.
What a great Eastern Conference final, though, if that is it.
Another interesting thing.
Or just any in the playoffs at all.
We don't have too much time to talk about it today. We'll get to it maybe on another show. But what's going on with Petey Martinez and Frank DeBoer? Because it really looks like
DeBoer wants him out.
I don't know if he wants him out, but he's not really, you know.
DeBoer's like, I don't see what y'all see.
Yeah, he's not really sticking up for his boy.
Do you see what I see? He's like, no. You can stop singing.
No, man. He's been very public about saying, like, he pulled him out of the midweek game.
Yeah.
Because he said he was making too many mistakes and he was a danger to the team.
Ooh.
That is
the best player in South America.
Yo. All right.
Wild talk.
Wild, spicy talk out here.
It's making it hot.
That barbecue sauce out here. That Jones.
The boys established in 1970. I don't know. It actually does say 1970 something.
So, he's been very public. I'm almost wondering from a business standpoint. That's not a good business from Atlanta United either.
Yeah, but you know what? That tells me that there's a bit of a power play going on in the locker room, right?
Okay.
Like, you know, Petey's trying to be like, yo, your boy's the most expensive, right? So don't touch me, my guy. Let me do what I want to do. And he was like, you forget I talk to the cameras, you know? Like, I'm going to say exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Because DeBoer, whatever, he's kind of a DP manager. So these are two major egos going against each other.
Yeah.
Who generally wins is the player because that's the asset. You can't sell a coach.
Yeah, but it looks like, I've watched enough games and Petey Martinez is not consistent. Remember, I was talking to my biggest concern is not that he doesn't have a bunch of goals, is that he doesn't have many assists, and that should be what the strength of his game is. Especially if you're not going to replace Almirón's goals, you can't. You're good enough, and based on what I've seen, even at River, it looks like you should be more of a playmaker, and if you're not going to score a bunch of goals, and if MLS is this, you know, beneath you, quote unquote, not to say that he said that, but like if that's how other leagues will view this move, like, oh, this will be I'm gonna go flex in MLS and then go to Europe.
Yeah.
If that was supposed to be the move, then
you're not flexing.
You're not flexing.
And if you can't flex here, you ain't going to be doing much in Newcastle. You ain't going to be doing much in Fenerbahce.
Exactly. So, overall, just like this game was incredible. And it's like, this is like another thing where I'm like,
I also want to give Pete a little bit of leeway because, you know, they are in a new system. It doesn't look like everyone is really sure yet what's happening in the Frank DeBoer. Look, they are in third place. They're doing great. But it's not necessarily like a well-understood system just yet. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So give him a chance.
He just looks uncomfortable. That's kind of the main...
DeBoer looks uncomfortable with him being on the team. You know how I know that? Because he said it.
That's kind of the frustrating thing. And, frankly, it'd be nice to have like those like great... beat the runs and those great highlights and seeing him having a good time and having fun playing the game.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, if you're a fan of Atlanta, you probably want to see that.
Yeah, and we're all missing out on it. So because there's a high expectation for him. So all right, so that is it. everybody. Another reminder, thank you for listening to the show, but another reminder, come out to the show in D.C.
Absolutely. And join Gully Squad.
Yeah, you know, do that.
Go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. Join it. It means the world to us. It's what allows us to get to places like D.C. and put on these events. It's going to allow us to get to where you are. And if you're in New York and you're a Gully Squad member, if you're a member, Charles Campesino, right? He helped
Campesano.
Us reach out. Campesano.
Campesino.
Campesino is something else.
Something else.
Which, by the way, shouted him out on HQ.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we put his little. I gotta rip that so we can put that up. I picked his tweet out for to be like sort of highlighted, like a little bit of graphic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, shouts to you, homie. People like that have reached out to us and like, yo, how can we help you get something going, like what you're doing in DC here. If you know someone at the club, reach out to them, reach out to us, do something. Let us know that there's an opportunity.
I want to make it clear how grassroots all of this stuff really is.
Yeah, at no point did Don Garber see, like, come over to our boat.
You know,
we have something to talk about.
All these things that happen are through people. You know, it's not,
it's not
corporations or whatever.
We're performing at Audi Field because of the fans.
Yeah.
Because of Audi or
not because
DC.
Of DC United. Yeah, it's
DC United certainly is allowing us to do it. That is true.
We are grateful for
and
that.
I'm glad that they're listening to their fans, but that didn't come from a boardroom meeting.
Yeah.
That came from someone on Instagram and Twitter saying, we love you guys. We want you to do something here. How can we help? And we said, we don't know. Let's try this. And it worked.
Exactly.
And so here we are. So if you run a big supporters group, if you are just somehow connected with members of the front office, let us know what you need from us to help you set that up or to help set up some type of, you know, communication with us, because we want to perform. We want to do what we're doing in DC at every MLS stadium.
Yeah, that would be a dream. So, this will be the first of our tour of MLS stadiums.
Yeah, just the beginning. And by the way, some of you are like, oh, why aren't you doing here? For some of y'all, we tried. And we got nose.
Yeah, we get nose all the time. So it's not like we're not doing our best.
We're hustling out here. We're trying.
So it doesn't happen without your support. So
once the team knows the fans are behind it, that's all that matters.
Yeah, so thank
please.
You. And yes, again, thank you to all our Gully Squad members. I'm going to be posting a couple things in the Super Secret Facebook group that may or may not exist.
It may or may not. Who knows?
From our live show, I just took out the story that Drew Connor told.
Yeah, that's a good one.
at our live show in Chicago, that is it's weirdly one of the funniest. And this is how I felt while he was telling the story. So just to
you wanted to hug him,
give some framework. We were doing the show in Chicago. He was doing a segment with Total Soccer Show, and we asked him like, "Yo, you want to come on stage with us before the show?" And he's like, "Nah, I'm not really sure," because I think he was like maybe nervous about being in front of a crowd or whatever. And then
big crowd in that Chicago,
big crowd, right? And then as the show was going on, then I talked to him again. He's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, okay, I want to go up there." And he was like, so he got all this confidence all of a sudden. And I thought we were just gonna talk, but instead he told a 10-minute story.
Yeah,
an MLS
he ate
player,
up a little bit of time.
An MLS player told a 10-minute story, which I think this is why I've seen this from other people when they are on a comedy stage. This happens when like if an audience member gets on stage,
yeah,
then they're like, I'm a comedian now.
Oh, I get to do this.
I get to do this. Yeah. I will tell jokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Drew Connor,
it's like, hop back here and make your own pizza. That's how they feel. Look at me, I'll put on an apron. You know, look at me, I'm a comedian.
Yeah, so he was like doing bits.
He had bits.
I there's no other way to put it. So while he was doing the bits, we definitely did help him a little bit.
We also roasted
him hard.
Well, let's just say, you know, sometimes telling a joke is like keeping a plate spinning. You and I went up there, gave it a couple taps.
Go,
we spun it.
Oh, go a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had a really good time.
We also were up there like, how much longer is this story going to go?
It was long. And it wasn't boring by any means. It wasn't like that.
We just didn't have that time.
We were like, all right, Drew, we didn't really discuss
that
this.
That was also the only show where like a show was happening after hours.
Yeah, yeah,
we weren't the last one.
Yeah, it was like.
So we're like, no, we need to clear the room.
this wasn't on the run-up show,
yeah,
Drew.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you made your own agenda? Cool.
No, but it was awesome. So look out for that, Gully Squad member. So if you guys want to see that, go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad and join. You can join at whatever rate you want to show some support. We appreciate it. We always get people come up to me all the time. They're like, yo, thank you for doing what you do. I wanted to give you guys a little bit of money.
That's
and,
so
and,
dope.
And help and just help.
And we're getting
cause.
So much love for just how grassroots we're sort of doing everything. And people are like, yo, you've gone so far, but we know you guys are hustling. wrestling to make that happen. So yeah, that means the world to us.
Yes. Thank you so much. So
again, nobody with large checks they want to give us just yet are saying it, but we're getting close.
Little by little. So we're excited about the DC show. We're also we're making plans to be at the All-Star Game in Orlando. The dudes in Blazers are doing another show out there.
Oh, are they?
A little frustrating, but what are you going to do?
God, nice big check they're getting, huh? I'm sure all the fans are just become MLS fans right away.
They love them so much.
Oh, yeah.
I support I support Arsenal and the Houston Dynamo. Love them, so I'm gonna go.
Now I do because Roger told me to. Sure, he said it when he was drunk. Anyway,
anyway, thank you again for listening to the show. We appreciate you very much. We're excited about all the things that are happening. And again, yes, the DC show is happening, but there's more big news coming down the pipeline. So we're excited to let people know about what's going on.
Absolutely, you guys are just the best, and all your support means the world to us. And if you live in the DC area, you'll come out to the show, hang out afterwards. It's only going to, we're going to go from like 4 to like 6-ish.
Yeah.
And then, we're going to just hang out afterwards. Like, come talk to us.
Exactly. Try out Alexis's barbecue sauce.
Yo, come take swigs. I'll put a straw in it for you. You know what I mean?
Yo, is it going to be like a blunt? No, people are going to be passing around that barbecue.
Sip, sip, pass. Don't fuck up the rotation.
So we're excited about that. Thank you again for listening to the show. With that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!